Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Today we want to talk about encouragement from God. Encouragement from God. When you deal with the Old Testament and historical narrative, you must understand that what God did in history, the specific things, for example, telling Abraham to offer his son, is not something that God specifically tells us. It's always in the context of what God is doing. But the principle, the idea behind what God is doing is relevant to us today. We don't allegorize the Bible. For example, we don't make a snake here stand for something and leprosy stand for something. That's to allegorize the Bible. That's to make what are literal things stand for something that the Bible is not talking about. We look at it and we try to understand what was God doing and how was he working. He may not do the exact same thing, but the idea is the same. He works in our lives. And here he has called Moses to lead the nation Israel. So look at me well in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your precious and wonderful word. And Lord, we thank you for leading the children of Israel out of slavery. And Lord, we thank you for leading Moses and directing him and guiding him. And Lord, we thank you that you are the same God that leads and guides and directs us and have the same power. And so, Lord, we pray as you encourage Moses with his own feeling of inadequacy and feeling of unworthiness, you encourage him, Lord, so you encourage us. And so we ask you from your word today to encourage us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Moses said, "They will not believe me. They're not going to hearken unto my voice." He's already given some objections, some excuses. And the first is the acceptance of authority. They're not going to accept me. They're not going to accept that I speak for you. So what am I going to do? So God answers. And God answers in a very unusual way. Notice what he said in verse 2. The Lord said unto him, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. The Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, appeared unto thee. Very unusual thing that God did. You got to understand, God knows what Moses is going to face. He knows you're going to go before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he's going to be stubborn, and he is not going to let them go. You're not going to say, "Let them go," and he'll say, "Oh, okay." He's not going to go along with that. His heart will be hard. It's going to take 10 plagues to humble him, to let him go. And even in all that, he's not going to respond until the very last one that is the most awful of plagues. And so, even then, when he finally lets him go, he's going to chase after you and try to destroy you. Now, God knew all this. Moses, this is not going to be as easy as you think it is. This is not just going to be something, "Okay, we'll just sort of do something, and there it is." And this is not going to be easy. And so he wanted to encourage him. If you notice, the first thing is, he encouraged him with a snake. I'm so glad that God hasn't chosen to encourage me this way. Because, if you notice, it says, he cast on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Had that meant me, I would have fled from before it and still be running today. different snakes. There were one snake story about the snake took down the pond. All of these different things, you know. So we got ready to leave. The boys, oh, I can't go. My back's hurt me. He had every excuse in the world. And we kind of poked at him. And finally, he said, no, no, I'm going home. And when he left, we all go, oh, boy, what a coward. What a coward. So we go down there to camp out. About midnight, I'm laying down on the ground. All I'm thinking about is those snakes. So I got on my bicycle and I rode 2 miles home at 2 o'clock in the morning. Don't want nothing to do with them. Don't you notice Moses' reaction was fear? Why this? Well, to the Egyptians, as perverted as they were, because idolatry was everywhere, a snake to them symbolized life and power. And so in one sense, God is showing him that he has power over this. But I think the second thing is, Moses' reaction was fear. And God made him do something that required having some courage. Because notice what he says. He says in verse 4, and the Lord said to Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. The Lord told me, Tim, reach for it. Now, first of all, Isaiah's rod turns to a snake. He said, reach for it, grab it by the tail. What did you say? I misunderstood that one. You didn't say that, did you? Yeah. Reach for it and grab it by the tail. Moses didn't know what was going on. This took, to a certain degree, courage. Because you notice, Moses' reaction was fear. He ran from it. How was God encouraging him? Folks, if you're going to have to stand before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he's going to rebuff you and put you down, you've got to have some courage. And if you're going to stand before Pharaoh 10 times while God brings plague after plague after plague, and he ignores you, you have to have courage. And if you're going to go and deliver them finally, and Pharaoh comes after you, ready to destroy you, you're going to have courage. And if you're going to lead the children of Israel, who are going to be stubborn and rebellious for 40 years, you've got to have some courage. So God took some unusual way to encourage him to have some courage, pick this up, and it became the rod, which became the symbol of God's power in Moses' life. And he used the rod many times. There was no power in it, but it became a symbol. He had to have some courage. You know what? Today, it takes courage to live today. It takes courage for a mother to take children and raise them up in the midst of this wicked world that we live in. It takes courage for fathers and parents and all of us to try to eke out a living and make a living in the world we live in. It takes courage to stand up to the evil and the world we live in and live differently and not compromise and say, well, just so you like me, I'll live like you do. It takes courage. Well, Moses is going to need some courage. And so God used an illustration, used something to encourage him. It will also take some confidence in him. For Moses to run and then come and grab the snake, it took confidence. It took faith in God. Okay, well, this is crazy. What are you doing here? All right, Moses, you show faith. I want you to show confidence in me. I want you to reach out and grab it by the tail. Okay. Can I whack it on the head with a hole first? Then I grab by the tail. No, I want you to reach it by the tail. And it became a rod. But I imagine Moses was surprised. But there was a sense of faith. Confidence. Yes, Lord. God was trying to encourage Moses that I'm with you and I will be with you. You've got a difficult task ahead. You don't realize how difficult it's going to be dealing with Pharaoh and dealing with a bunch of complaining of Jewish people. You don't know how difficult it's going to be. I want to encourage you to have faith in me, to have confidence in me, to have courage and not fear, because I will be with you. face task in life. I mean, I'm amazed, folks. I'm amazed just in our small congregation how many difficulties and hardships and troubles that people face. It takes courage. It takes faith. It takes a willingness to do what God said, to trust Him, to follow Him. And with God's grace, you can accomplish whatever God wants you to. There's a story of a young man leaving to work. He gets in, the work of going to church on Sunday morning. It's raining pretty hard. And so he gets in his little two-seater car. And it's a convertible, so he pulls the top up and he heads on down towards church. And at a distance, he sees three people standing out in the rain with an umbrella, being soaked with the umbrella holding on. There were three people waiting for the bus that might not come for quite a while. And he knew all three of them. The first one was a very elderly lady who had many, many physical problems, was almost at the point of death. And yet, here she was, very elderly, very struggling. And there she was. Oh, and I had room for one. Well, I should pick her up. Then, by him was the doctor, who had actually diagnosed a disease that he had had and through treatment and all had spared his life. And so he looks and goes, well, I've only got room for one. Here's the older lady. And here's the doctor that saved my life. And then the third lady was a different lady in the church whom he liked. She was very pretty and he was very attracted to her and he thought very much of her. But he'd known her for 6 months and didn't have the guts to know what to do and to talk to her. And he goes, up. He had to make a split decision. What am I going to do? So he pulls up with his car. He gets out. He had the key to the doctor. He takes the lady and brings her around. He drives her to church. And then he gets under the umbrella with the lady and sits there. We'll wait for the bus together. He made a decision. He solved the problem. But folks, with God, you can solve anything. That's what God was trying to do. To encourage him. And I want you to notice in verse 6, he did the second thing. And the Lord said, furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as the other flesh. And he said, this shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. Now, this is an unusual thing that he did. It was leprosy. Now, leprosy in this day was not the kind of leprosy we have today. But the one thing in studying about this, whatever this leprosy was, it was common to Egypt. It was a dreaded disease in the land of Egypt, and it was incurable. It wasn't deathly, but it was incurable. And so, God, knowing what Egypt thought was great, showed that he had power. And knowing what Egypt thought they were afraid of, a disease that was incurable, God showed him he had power. And so, he put his hand in and puts it in there, and out it comes with the disease. Now, the scripture doesn't say, but I imagine Moses again was startled. Oh, what? God said, put it back in again. And it came out, and it was. And God said, just to let you know that if they will not believe the first one, then they will believe this one. Why did he do this? Well, because to Egypt, once again, this was a fearful thing. For them to have this was something that was very fearful because it was incurable. God once again showed Moses through a divine illustration, but my power is sufficient. My power can take care of you and conquer what they fear and probably what you fear, but I can overcome and conquer through you. Moses, I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to lift you up, to let you know that I'm with you. That my power is available. Friend, let me tell you something. If you're going to live out trust in the Lord and learn to rely upon the Lord, because there are tough decisions and there are tough problems and there are difficulties in life, and you're going to have to learn to trust in God and trust in His power. Moses knew, didn't know what all he had in store, but God was trying to encourage him. And the third one, he says this in verse 9. He didn't do this one then, but he did it later. He said in verse 9, and this shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Now he didn't do that one this time. That was the first plague. But he let them know that you're going to need more, basically. But it's going to be a difficult task. And this will be the first plague that I will bring. But he said, we're going to turn the Nile into blood. Unusual thing. But you have to go back to the Egyptians. To them, as to many crazy people out there, they look at the creation, or they look at earthly things as the source of life and power. They don't look to God. Egypt was a very idolatrous nation. All you got to do is look at the things they've uncovered, and the pyramids, and all the things, and all the idols, and all the things that they worship. But one of them, the Nile, they believed the Nile was the source of life. And it was the source of life and enrichment to them. And so God said, Moses, I'm going to let you know, I'm going to begin to play what they trust in, to let you know that I'm in charge, and it's going to take work. It's going to take something that's going to have to be my power, because he's going to be stubborn and he's not going to let them go, and it's going to take a period of time. But I'm in this to let you know, to let them know that I'm the source of life. I'm the source of power, not this Nile, not what they're trusting in. God took three signs, I guess. Very unusual. But he took them all for the one purpose, to give Moses courage, to give Moses confidence, to give Moses faith that God is with him. There are things in life that you have faced, I have faced, that have buckled my knees at times. There are things in life that come that buckle us and bring us to our knees. And where do we turn? The only place is to look up. Trust in God. Learn to rely upon God. The other answer is to compromise and say, well, I'll just go along with the flow. I'll go along with what the world wants to do. I'll go along with what they say. Is relying on God. I remember when our children were little, we had four little wee ones. There were a few times that I guess I understand my father. It wasn't many times. But you think, will we ever get these things wrong? This is tough. When I told them when they became teenagers, one of the first things I told them every day is you can't be a teenager. And to a great degree, they were teenagers, but they didn't follow along with the crowd. And let me tell you, that's just easy. I pretty much get up every day and just say a prayer. God bless me. You're going about your business. No, that's not easy. It's tough. It's tough in life. It's tough. It's tough to accomplish. You and I may not be doing what Moses did, but we all have things. And God wants to encourage you and say, listen, I'm with you. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to help you. I watched a Hallmark channel, which is about the only channel you'd watch today. And there's a little movie called Love Comes Softly. And the man that graciously knows the Lord and goes out to a little bench and prays and sings, he winds up a lady whose husband was killed. They wind up marrying just for the sake of being a protector. pastor's church with a little bench out there at the thing. He said, you know, my daughter was just walking along here, and maybe she slips and falls. He said, I didn't push her down. I didn't make her fall. She fell. But he said, there's one thing I will do. I'll pick her back up. I'll pick her back up, and I'll dust her off, and if she's near her knee, hurt her knee, I'll help minister to her. I'll take care of her. In other words, I don't promise her that everything's going to be all right, but I do promise her I'll be with her every step of the way. I'll watch over her, and I'll take care of her. I'll look after her. He said, you think on that. But God didn't promise that everything's going to work out just right, but he does promise he's going to be with you every step of the way. You and I have got to trust him and obey him. Then Moses in verse 10, we're not getting that too much this morning. He then had another excuse. Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. He came up with another excuse. Came up with another reason to say, I can't do this task. I can't do the job. When you look through the rest of the verses, what God was simply telling Moses, I'm the source of it all. I'm the power of it all. All I need from you is to obey me. All I need for you is to trust me. All I need for you is to follow me and do what I say and trust me. There is a story. A man on a ship, crew, see at the distance in the fog, they see a light, which they think is a ship's light. So they send a message to that light, that place, and say, you need to turn 10 degrees north because we're about to hit you. But they got the message back and said, no, you need to turn 10 degrees south and you're going to hit us. So the captain told the captain, and angered the captain. So he said, you send them a message again. And they sent the message again, and they said, you need to turn south. They ignored him. Smiling, he said, send them a message and you tell them, we are a huge battleship. We are big. If they don't turn, they're going to be hurt because we're going to ram right into them. The message came back and said, you may be a battleship, but we're the lighthouse on the shore. You better turn. I'm going to tell you, whatever God says, you and I look out through the fog and we think, this is the way we ought to do it. This is the way it ought to be done. This is the way it is. And God says, but you don't know. I know there's a lighthouse. And you're going to run into that. You need to learn to trust me. You need to learn to obey me. You need to learn to follow me. Let me tell you something. God is an encouraging God. I don't know why everything happens, but I know he is an encourager. And he wants to encourage you. He may not make your rod turn into a snake. He may not make it leprous. But he's the same God who has the same power to do the great things that he wants to do. God's good. And he wants to encourage you and I. He's not in heaven saying, oh, you're on your own. Just do it the best you can. No, he's there to encourage you and lift you up and help you through life. He said, well, my problems are just so small, they're nothing. Let me tell you something. There's no problem too small for God not to care about and want to help you with. Let's pray. Father, how we love you this morning, and how we thank you for your word. And though you may not do the exact same things you did with Moses, you are still the same God who encourages us. We can all point to answers we received in prayer. We can all point to good things you've done and how, even though we fell, you've picked us up and you